Just want to quickly talk about Bible college. Is that all right, guys? Who's ever been to Bible college before? No one? Oh, this is good potential here, guys. We're going to get some people here. So I am the National Director of the CRC College of Ministry, and it's a great privilege and honor to be in that. I'm excited. We are launching a new course next year. We have three different streams. One of the streams is worship, where we're sending kids over to go to Bethel in Reading and going to be equipped into understanding who they are as worshipers, not as just worship leaders, but worshipers as maybe electrician. Worshippers as a plumber. Do you understand that there's no difference between the guy who's singing up here and how you guys worship in your workplace? Can I get an amen? Amen. We're going to practice this. So everyone said amen? Amen. Amen. All right. So we're doing that. We're also doing a missions trip to Papua New Guinea. Who, you guys been to Papua New Guinea? Few of you have been. We're sending a group of guys to Papua New Guinea, and we're going to train you in missions and train the next generation of missionaries. Come on, I love that. We are actually sending 30 of us are going to Vanuatu in 2 weeks' time. 20 of them are students being trained in the missions field to create a heart. That's our CRC belief, to go, to create life into these places. So we're blessed to do that. We've got a credential stream. We've got a youth stream. All the youth leaders and youth people said amen. Amen. Cool. And it's going to be great. This year we have seen, we've got a group of 20 students plus another 60 online, and they've just seen amazing miracles happen at these camps. We run these intensive camps where we fly you in from any capital city in Australia to a camp, and then we just smash you with the Holy Spirit. We also do some Bible college stuff too, but I love the Holy Spirit stuff. So it's great. It's under fee help, so the government pays, and then you get a loan. It's great. And you also get Aus Study. We're just seeing some significant things happen over the Bible college. We're seeing guys released into supernatural healing ministries, into tongues, into prophetic words, into creative miracles. I love miracles, but when they're creative, when they're supernatural, when they're out of the norm, I like that stuff. And when we've seen some great prophets. We've just seen fivefold ministry come out of this college, and I'm just blessed to be part of that. So I've got brochures. I don't know if Chris has got brochures, but I can send you guys some. So cool. All right. So yeah, how is everybody? Doing well? That's cool. I just want to honor Pastor Chris and his amazing wife. Is she in the cool? Can I just ask you just to stand up for a second, Chris? We need to honor this man. I'm a senior pastor down in Warragul, and my guys, we have a culture of honor. This guy has put his life, he's put his family, he's put everything into seeing this church grow. Seeing this church, and I love the name of the church, to seeing this. And you've got a job too. Even though he loves you and he gives out of unconditional love, you guys have to honor him. In our church, we have a culture where you don't speak anything against our pastor ever. And if our leaders, if any of our senior leaders hear that, we say, no, you don't speak that of my father, my pastor, my leader. And we want to cultivate that. I just felt in the spirit. Can I ask all the youth kids to stand up? Sorry, Chris, I'm going to be a little bit different here. Can you guys come around and just lay hands? We're going to pray just a blessing on the senior pastor. Is that all right? Do you have your youth leader here? Maybe your son. So can we just one of you guys just start praying and just honor this man, honor what he's done, what he puts through, what you guys don't see in the nights when he's stressing out and he's praying for you and he's interceding you. You don't see that stuff. So guys, just surround him. Everyone lay hands on him. Just release. One of you guys can pray. Oh. Rest everyone else. Reach your hands out to him. Honor this man. Honor what he's done, what he's doing for Christ, through him. all said, amen. Guys, the youth, just turn around for a minute, youth. Your future is locked in how you honor the next generation. Where you get to go is where you want to move into the things of God and supernatural blessings and the favor is locked into how you honor the generations and the generations around you. Can I get an amen for that? All right, thanks. Grab a seat, guys. That was a good word, mate. You got a little of a, got a gift there. I don't know who that guy is. Cool. It's so important to understand the culture of honor, the culture of family, a culture of looking after our leaders. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't going to go down this road, but hey, let the Holy Spirit go. In our church, we released $20,000 to send, who knows Pastor John and Jean Leake? A great couple, been in the church, in the CRC church for 42 years, has raised $1.6 million for African Action, have done a great thing, but they live in a rental property. They've given every cent to God, and we've been able to honor them. We got enough money, we sold some land off, and we gave $20,000 for them to go to Europe for a holiday, because we cultivate a culture of honor. And we didn't give it, we had enough, we were really blessed in the land that we sold, but we're all about honoring that next generation. I get to go further on how I honor that man. And I don't do it because of that, but it's just a culture thing. All right? So, yeah. Okay. I got off track on that. Sorry. I just got a word. Is it Rita? Rita, can I give you a word? How good is this, Chris? New Christians in your church. I've been to churches. I was just saying to Rita that I've been to churches where they haven't seen a salvation in nearly 10 years. That breaks my heart. Here's this lady, and was your friend, sorry, Heather, neighbors who invited to church, and she's come into a relationship. Guys, you're doing the right thing. Come on, grow church. Come on, you're growing. So, Rita, I just want to give you a word. God, I just see right now, I see a beautiful flower, and I don't like to give the flowers because everyone gives prophetic words of flowers, but I see this, I think it's a dragon trap. It's got red petals, and I see yellow. And God's saying that through the blood of Jesus, that represents those red petals, that you've been set free. Now you step into royalty, and that steps that golden center of that flower. Through Christ and what he did through you, the redness that come over, you now are a princess. You are now a queen. You are now beautiful. You have robes of royalty on you, and you have authority in you. And know God's saying right to me right now, even though it's in later in life that you've received into a salvation, that you've come into the family, God's saying, I'm going to use your later years greater than any time that you've ever had. I'm going to release new ministry gifts over you, new mantles. I just see a gift of healing, Rita. I don't know if there's anyone healing in this place, but you need to surround yourself with someone who's got a healing gift and start learning and releasing that gift in over people's lives. I just also see the neighborhood. One, these lights on the neighborhood, I start seeing the lights turn on, and those lights are turned on, they're representing the salvations that are coming into that neighborhood. And I see another one and another one and another one, and you guys are going to see that street saved. God, just release that. If that's your word, just confirm it right now in her heart. Plant those seeds, release it in your name. Amen. Amen. Cool. I love prophetic words. I love giving words of encouragement. At the end of the service, I would love to pray for you guys if you'd like to come up. But that'd be cool. I should get into the word, shouldn't I? That's always good. I'm kind of what I'm here for. I just looked at your, last night, I looked on your webpage and I saw your vision statement and your mission statement. Be everything God made you to be. How good is that? So I was just praying over it, and I was just saying, God, what does this mean? And he said, Chris, this is a great, and it fits perfectly into what I'm going to share today. Be everything. I'm going to put a full stop there. Be everything. We are called to be everything to everybody. Is that correct? What Paul says, to be all things that we can save some. That is a great statement there. I'm going to share that more about that tonight at Digger's Rest. But I just want to say, be everything. That's our call, is our purpose, is to go into the world and be to our neighbors, be that salvation. Maybe in the supermarket, bring a prophetic word or a healing word. We got to be everything. The world is crying out for the lost. We had a young guy come to our youth ministry. And he's been gone. He was gone for about two years. And all of a sudden, I saw a change in his life. He started coming in a bit jittery. He started coming with red eyes. He started coming. He was pretty much stoned nearly every week. and he was interested in God, and he was getting to a salvation, but this thing came into his life. What happened was his mum had hooked up with a partner who was a drug dealer. And so that he didn't have to get caught by the police, because this kid was only 15, 16 years old, he moved into the house, got this kid addicted to drugs, and was using him as a drug run-in. That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. And we saw this kid slowly drift off. And you know what, church? We need to be everything. We need men and women in those places of influence, in those time to show love. That kid needed somebody. Needed somebody. And I pray that he comes back and we share him. But we need to be called to be everything to all people so we can save them. I can't reach into your workplace. I can't reach into your school places. That's your place. Chris can't reach into those places. He needs you to be everything in those places, to be Christ in those places. Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Second part of that is that's our purpose. I want to talk about our identity. God made you to be. God made you. In the end, your identity is from him. It's fully from him. God made you, and he finds pleasure in you. That's in the scripture, you know that? That means all the yucky stuff, all the rubbish that is in your life, all the pain, God can turn that into beautiful diamonds. He can make it into beautiful testimonies. The two points I want to share today is about know your purpose, and I'll give you your identity. And they're both interlinked so carefully to each other. And if you don't know your identity, the world will give you a identity. I'm going to share that tonight. I'm just jumping into the wrong sermon there. So the two points. Find your purpose, and it's linked to your identity. Okay, I'm going to share today about these two specific questions. Identity and purpose, and what the world is saying. I love this statement. Is this your vision statement? Was this for the theme for the year? This has been my preaching theme for the year, the inheritance and legacy of Christ. Everything that we are united. I got that from this morning. We are united. We are seated in heavenly places from the communion message. This is our theme. I love this. We have such a great reward, such a great inheritance in God. I get distracted with signs. Sorry, I am a visual person. So I just love that. That's God, Chris, you're on track. You're doing some amazing things. Just honor you and your eldership. Let's give him another hand. Cool. All right. So while I get a drink of water, I want everyone to stand up. And what I like to do is do you a high five to your neighbor. Stand up. I like to get, my love language is physical touch. So high five. And then maybe even if you're feeling a bit out there, do a fist pump to your other side of your neighbor. Thanks, guys. I made it through the introduction. Let's go. Woo. Okay, so my two things I want to talk about is identity and purpose. Our world is crying out for the identity. The question that every 7.5 billion, I believe, now in the world is asking is, who am I? That is the question that every man, the woman, and child is asking. Who am I? And in that, it is tied to, who am I? Why am I here? Identity, who am I? Why am I here? Purpose. Scientists spend trillions and billions of dollars of sending spaceships into space to find out why we're on this earth. It is a question that drives us in our very spiritual, and the world thinks it's in our human DNA, but it's in our spiritual DNA. The true purpose and the identity. We, church, have that answer. We, church, have that answer. Amen. I need some help preaching with you guys. Is that okay? Say amens for me. So, yeah. So, the question of identity, something has been placed in us. Who we are. It drives the search. It drives industry. It drives government. It drives the purpose. And sometimes it can be negative. And the next question is, why I'm here? My purpose. Because we are searching for who we are, our next question that follows through who we are is, why am I here? When some people find out who they are, the next question they go to is, Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? And even Christians, I believe this is a calling on our lives, that we sometimes get settled into church too much and we get disengaged because we've asked that question. And let's be honest, there's been times I've been in bed and late at night and I've asked this question and say, God, I think I know my purpose. I think I know my identity. But something's happened, or I couldn't pay a bill on time, or someone's left at church, and my identity is then challenged. And then I got to look at my heart and say, what's going on here that's affecting my spirit? And we've got to be wise in that. But those are the two questions that I love engaging with people. The world spends the money on, you see it in the media, you see it in the places. But those two questions are only a stepping stone to the third question. Now, this is the sacred question. This is the question that is kept in secret. It's only locked away in the church walls. This is the question that I guarantee you every one of your non-Christian friends, every one of your schoolmates, every one of your workers in your business places have asked in the dead of night, who have asked those questions when they've lost a family or some trial has come. They have asked this question. I guarantee you every man, woman, or child has said this. The question is, that leads from once we share about identity and our purpose, is, am I worthy of being loved, or am I loved? That's the one that the media doesn't like to share about. We find out all about Mars and go on to Pluto and where we fit into this solar system. We find about all the Oprah Winfrey shows, all about our identity and who we are as men and women and all those great counseling stuff. But all leads to that one question. We've all asked it. Am I loved? I used to work in a truck industry, one of the roughest, toughest industries you can get into. Swearing, profanity, you name it, they had in there. And I was blessed to be able to see God's grace move into that place. I was blessed to be able to see that I knew there was one guy, he had smokes in his, you know, up in the sleeves, everyone's seen that, tattoos, the roughest, angriest guy in our workplace. And I was just, over a certain amount of time, I was just starting to share who I was, I was 3 years silent in my workplace because of fear, but I'm going to get into that a bit more later. But out of that, I started then releasing who I was, my identity, which was Christ. And I started sharing what the church was doing. And I started sharing. And this guy used to always yell at me. He always gave me a rough time. He always bullied me at work. And workplace bullying was an issue back then. But over time, I just said, you know what? I'm just going to love this guy. I'm just going to be there for this guy. It doesn't matter what he did. He stole from me. He gossiped about me. He said some very nice things about my wife. Not really. But I just kept on loving him. And one time, as I was, I think it took me 2 years, this roughest, toughest guy, he comes out to me and goes, Chris, can I chat with you? And I'm like, are you going to punch me out this time? I'm over you, mate. He goes, Chris, can I catch up with you? So we go out, and he starts sharing about his marriage. He starts sharing about he's going to get divorced, and he loves his wife, and he doesn't know what to do. So here is this guy, he's probably 6'5", probably 4 foot wide now, and big boy. And him and me are having an intimate place in the roughest workplace where grease and diesel's filling the place. I'm just sitting there praying for this guy. He starts to weep. So you know what he was asking me? All those times he was bullying, he knew I was a Christian. He was asking a question. And it wasn't a verbal question, it was action saying, Chris, am I worthy to be loved? And it came out of a negative place. And he was yelling and he was causing trouble in my life. But he was testing me, saying, you say stuff about this Christ. You say stuff about your church. It's a family that you have brothers and sisters. I have not experienced that. I'm going to test you out for 2 years. And then if you're right, and if you prove that you are loved, and you talk about unconditional love, if that's true, I'll come to you. And I was out to just share with this guy. Over the next couple of years, this guy became my best friend. We just started chatting with him and just seeing revival in his family. His marriage was restored. It was it was at the end of its rope, had nothing left in it. They were all about to separate, and after we prayed together, they kept back together, and they had a great life. The word, glory to God. But the question that they ask in our communities, in our schools, in our businesses is, am I worthy to be loved? Am I able to be loved? And I've worked out, church, that if you get permission and you show that you care, the first two questions. See, this guy, I said, you know what, I want to know about you. Over the times, even though he was yelling at me, I said, you know, mate, what is your purpose? And I shared about him. He wanted to go to, he wanted to leave the trucking industry and get educated, but he had some words spoken over his life that he was rubbish and he was stupid. And I got to know his dreams. I got to know his purpose. Once I got to know his purpose, I started finding out his identity. Mate, well, what's your family like? Who are your kids? I care about it. I actually found out who his grandparents were. Sorry, his parents were, so I knew his name. I was just showing loves. Once I had permission, once I knew his purpose and his identity, I could speak into that love question and change his future and his reality. Church, we need to get into our places of influence. Find out people's purpose. Maybe they want to be a doctor. Maybe they want to be a pet groomer. Who cares what it is? Get to know their family. Get to know who their kids are. Pray for their kids. One of the most amazing things I find in witnessing, if you go to somebody and say, can I pray for your kids, and you give me something to pray for, they're willing to do that. For themselves, maybe not. But if you start praying for their kids, so I had one guy came to me every week and goes, Chris, can you pray for me, this for my kid? Well, let me pray about him. But I had permission to speak into his life. And over time, I started praying for him and releasing some stuff. Church, we need to be this answer. If you know those first two questions, you get permission for them to ask you that third question. Cool. Just another quick story. So this became a little bit of a motto in my life. So in every situation in my life, I'm going to preach over here. Sorry, guys, I'm leaning to Chris. I love you, Chris. I started being this, changing my destiny, changing how I did everything in my life. So now wherever I go, I shouldn't say just me, my leaders or the people around me, we teach wherever you go that we have the right to change the atmosphere. The kingdom of God is in us. Is that correct? We are sitting in heavenly places. We have united in Christ. So when we go to a place, we get to change the atmosphere of that place. So what happened is, I said, you know what, God? I love getting my hair cut. Everyone see this? Going to be a laugh at me. I do. I'm a bit of a manscaper. It's okay. It's cool. I'm very familiar with my manhood. So I go to this nice hairdresser, and I get the full shampoo and the massage of the scalp. If you ever have a massage of your scalp? It is amazing, man. It's relaxing. I could fall asleep in the chair. Anyway, so I went to this hairdresser, and I'm sitting here, and this place is all about self. If you've ever been to a hairdresser, it's all about self. There's pictures of beauty. It's about how can I make myself look beautiful. I reckon it's actually one of our temples of idols of self. It is a pretty bad place. All right. So I walked into this place and I said, God, I don't care what's on the walls. I don't care what spirits are in here. And there was the manager is a homosexual, great guy, great laughs with him. But this whole culture of this place was set for self. How can I please myself? So I walked in and said, I'm going to change the atmosphere in here. So I met one of the hairdressers, and I chose this one hairdresser, and I've been seeing her for 2 years. In the first 6 months, all I did was pray in the chair. Didn't say anything, just got to know her. Got to know her identity, got to know her purpose. She wanted to go over, do some trips to New Zealand, got to understand some stuff in that. Then in six months, we came to a time where she asked me a question, where she kind of felt me as a friend. And I've been praying in tongues. You can pray in tongues in your mind. You didn't know that? I love doing that. Because sometimes you just can't do it in that place. And she came to a place where she said, Chris, you've been telling me stories about your church. And you tell me some stories about your family. So she knew I was a pastor. I didn't say much about it. And then came to a place where she said, Chris, what's the difference between me and you? I knew that I had her. I knew I had her. She had seen something in my life. And behind that question, she was asking, What's the difference between you and me? The question was, can I come into your world? Can I be loved by Christ as you? We have got to be a discerning spirit. Sometimes people say, like the other guy, there was actions of negativity. This was a question, a curiosity that arose in her. And it was through times of 6 months just praying in that chair, speaking, knowing those things, we released destiny over her. I've still, you got to pray for her. She's starting to understand. I'm sharing about our church. I'm sharing about faith. And we're just engaging in some great conversations. I'm seeing, I believe that she's going to be saved by the end of the year. So you guys can pray with me for that, all right? So the point of this, why is Chris saying all these stories? You guys have to go into the place. You get to change the atmosphere wherever you go. Seriously, hairdressers, one of the most self places. Maybe even in the gambling centers. Maybe in the pokies. Maybe in wherever you go, in the schools, in the pubs. Can I say that? Ooh. In the taverns. Could we change the atmosphere in this place? My friend, Tex from Harvest, great man of God, he had a band, a really big band. He used to pull in about 2,000 people every time he did a gig. And he was in Melbourne, he had a really leading career in that. Gets saved, gets filled with the Holy Spirit and the tongue in tongues, then goes to the next gig, and the 2,000 people turned up, and as they started playing, and the whole band got bland, saved, the whole, so 2,000 people turned up, and they actually left. See, something happened. The spirit, when he went there and he started playing, wasn't coming from a spirit of anger and frustration. He was actually changing the atmosphere that people didn't want to get drink and sleep around anymore, that he carried that presence, and he changed the whole pub, and they had to close the band down, because every time they went and played, no one would turn up anymore. You guys carry the power to change the atmosphere in your place, your location, your influence. Can I get an amen to that? I am all over the place, shop here, but it's all good. You got, this is resonating with you guys? Cool. So our one job is to see the lost get saved, to change the places of influence, to change the atmosphere. What is your one job? Right now, I want you to get a pen and paper out. I want to write down, what's your place of influence? What's your place that you can change right now? What is God speaking to you? All right. As you write down, and this is a question I asked myself 3 years ago, I believe. I was doing pastorship and doing some amazing stuff in our church. And I asked this question to myself a while back. And my answer was, I didn't have a place of influence. I had no place where I was not in with other Christian people. That scared me. I had surrounded myself in such a Christian isolation that I couldn't speak to any non-Christians people. It's just, sometimes guys, we get into our faith and we get into Christians and we get into church, and I love church. Church is the body of the Christ. It is the reason. It's the individual that is in the church that gets permission to save the nations. Can I get an amen? The church is significant. But sometimes we can create walls around our life that we're not actually speaking into anyone's except for other Christians. Okay, you might have a gift in making disciples. I understand that. But every person here should be, and I don't know why to say this, Chris, should be at least seeing someone saved once a year, if not more. And I shouldn't say saved, sorry, sometimes my evangelist side get over me. You should be witnessing to somebody at least once a month. And I'm not talking about witnessing where you get in the Bible and bash them. If that's your evangelist, do that. I've seen guys do it. Ben Fitzgerald is a machine. I know how he gets away with it, but he does it. But what we promote in our church is, you know what, buy a coffee for somebody behind you in the Macca's line. That's a witness of faith. Do something kind to them. Maybe what we're up to the stage where we started buying coffees, we started buying gifts for strangers. Now we're getting these guys who stepped into that. That's the first step. But now they're going out and praying for people in the streets and giving prophetic words. And we're seeing some amazing things in the streets happening in Warragul. Our job is to surround ourselves, find some non-Christian friends, and speak to them. Have your foundation. Have your cell groups. I'm not talking about, I'm saying that. You have your connect groups. You have your mentor groups. You have your leaders. But if you've got no non-Christians around your life, what did Jesus do? Did he put himself in the temple? He went there, of course, but he didn't stay in the temple. He went out to the byways and highways. Hard question that I asked myself, and I had to say no. And I created an environment then where I could reach the lost, and I went out and did that. Question, what time have we got? We're going good. Finish up in 10 minutes. We're aiming for that. The question can be asked through negative response. I've already touched on that. Illustration. See, what I found is that question of love is so significant. We were in had a youth ministry, and we had a young girl come, and she was misbehaving all the time. She was so frustrating. I was like, I could just tell you to go to another youth group. I actually made a joke to the other youth pastor I was friends with. Hey, do you want another youth kid? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, you can have her. Didn't work out. She stayed with us. But what happened was she was misbehaving all the time. And it's just quickly, the story was that one day I was just preaching a sermon and I was just saying, you know what, every girl here, you are my daughter. And I love you as a father. And as Christ loves me, I love you. And I just started connecting. I shared about what unconditional love was. And this girl that caused me so much trouble came up after the service and said, Chris, did you mean that? I said, what do you mean? She goes, did you mean that you love me? And I explained, you mean, as a father, because it's getting a bit weird there. And she goes, yeah. And I go, yes, I do. I care for you. Me and Shauna, we're like your spiritual parents. We love you. We want to know you. We want to know these things about you. And one thing that broke my heart, she turned around and said to me, Chris, I've never heard those words in my life. 14-year-old girl. I never heard, I love you. What are we doing? What are we doing? Someone go for 14 years of their life and not hear those words over them. I said yes, and we prayed for her, and that night she got saved. And she came to know the Lord, and she was, same thing I said with that truck driver. It was a different, same story, same principle. She was asking, am I worthy to be loved? And she's now grown up to be a great woman of God. And God's just been faithful in that area. Cool. All right, let's stretch our legs for the last time. Stand up, high five, and say, you were loved, to the person on your right. And to the person on the right, left, say, you can change the atmosphere. All right, cool. Do you like how I do that? Just little subtle prompts there so I can catch up. All right, last point. The enemy has given our community an orphan spirit. Am I worthy to be loved? It's just a question that the world has taught our community that you are not loved, that you have no inheritance, that you have no legacy. You are an orphan and no one loves you. It is the core thing, especially in our Western culture, that we, the people, young people, old people, every generation are looking to be loved, because the media, the TV, saying that went to women, the only way you can be loved is through your body and what we can get out of your body. And to the men, the only thing that you can be loved is how much money you work or how much power you have. All the TV shows, all the media, all the rubbish that we get said. We're in a culture that produces orphans. If you see the stats of divorce and marriage, and the enemy's just on attack in that place. The kids that come in our youth group, we at one stage had 70 kids in our youth group, and 50 of them were from de facto relationships or divorce relationships. And this is a scary stat, guys. Anyone wants to give us an orphan spirit. But you know what? I've been in church, spoke to a few churches around Australia and overseas. This is not just for the people out in our community. I've found that people in the church have brought the lie that you are orphans, that you guys are not worthy, that sometimes the enemy confuses your identity. There's a fivefold ministry. I think everyone has one of those gifts. Who knows the fivefold ministry? Apostle, prophet, preacher, teacher, evangelist. I got that right. Cool. Everyone has those gifts, has those identities. And everyone in this church needs to find out what are those. You can have one or two of those, but you need to find that out. So the enemy wants you to confuse your identity. And if you get confused enough, You start believing these lies about that you are orphaned. Or maybe God didn't give me that job. Or maybe God didn't give me that thing because I need to be punished. That is an illegal mindset that you should not have. We have a good Father in heaven. And He loves you and He cherishes you. Do not carry, He doesn't carry a big stick to hit us with. And, but Chris, that's basic. You know what, there's been times, just recently actually, I've had some bad news come into my life. And that first thought comes in, the enemy just throws that little fiery dart and says, Chris, you know what, God's trying to teach you something here. And I'm like, no, my Father loves me. He will use stuff and He'll glorify it and take coals to diamonds. But He doesn't cause pain in my life to teach me. That isn't legal mindset. That is so illegal. You guys are sonship and daughters of Christ, the King of Kings. If the church loses their identity and they don't understand the power they have in the sonship, in the being united with Christ, how are we going to reach our community? How we are going to give that answer, that question, am I loved, when we don't even know our identity, our purpose? They are interlinked together. You lose your identity, you lose your purpose, you start thinking that I'm not loved anymore. Church, can I just say one thing today? Find your identity in Christ. What is your name in heaven? I'm going to share that at Diggers Rest tonight, how to find your identity in Christ. So everyone come along tonight to 3 o'clock at Diggers Rest. 2 o'clock at Diggers Rest. Wow, got that wrong. So everyone's going to come to that? No, it's all right. I'm going to share on how to find your identity in that. Because a church who finds their identity, when individuals in the church are equipped into their identity, the community will be saved. And I'm not talking about a couple of hundred. I'm talking about thousands. When your church finds a united purpose, I love vision statements, I love mission statements, honor this man, come under him, but you need to find your identity as an individual. And when you find that, you come under the church and you serve the church in that capacity and you become the best apostle in this church. You become the best evangelist in this church. You become the best teacher, preacher, or pastor in this church. Don't look across the road and say, hey, I want to be an evangelist when you've got a pastor's heart. Find out your identity. You'll get confused. The enemy will try to confuse you by saying, you've got all the gifts. You can outwork them. Yes, you can. There's usually one or two primary gifts. Find those, and we'll see this church go to new heights. Come on. Come on. All right. To finish up here, what is sonship? This is the key, the answer to your identity, the answer to your inheritance, the answer to why am I here, am I loved? This is for you, church, and this is what the Bible says about you. In Ephesians 1:5, here is the answer of sonship. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us into Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and He gave Him great pleasure. Before you even existed, guys, if anyone here doesn't have a relationship with Christ, before you were even born, God chose you and you found good pleasure in you. So that means you haven't done anything yet and He loves you. You just read the scripture there? Before time even existed, He chose you and He finds you in good pleasure. All you need to do is put your hand up and say, God, I accept you. I accept you. He loves you. He wants relationship with you. This is the key to sonship. It is given freely. There's nothing we need to do. We just give up, surrender, and just say our lives to Him. Ephesians 5:6. I love He predestined us into adoption of sonship. What does sonship mean? Sonship means you have all authority in heaven and earth. What Jesus did in heaven, what did on the cross, He went to earth and He created unity with Him and the Father. Now we get to step into that unity. That is amazing. Every authority that He did, every supernatural thing He did on this earth, we get to do. What is that verse? Greater things. Jesus said it Himself. He goes, greater things you'll do than I am. So that what makes that? Jesus is the benchmark. What He did in His life, I'm speaking to the Christians now, that's your lowest benchmark. You have to go higher now. Raise the dead, that's a low benchmark. Heal the sick, that's a low benchmark. Heal the blind, that's the benchmark. Greater things. We had a young lady come on a missions trip with us to Vanuatu 5 years ago. She was part of our internship that we run in our church, and she was a bit lukewarm Christian. You know, you get these guys who are kind of, they're kind of going to parties still, and but they're kind of saved. You know what I'm talking about? No one's like this, is there? I love having a church full of these guys because we could just get this, just Holy Spirit them and just smash them. So this girl said, you know what? We're going to Vanuatu. And she goes, you know, I feel I need to go to Vanuatu with you, Chris. It's part of the internship. I want to come along. So she saved her own money up. I didn't think she would come, but she came. So we went over there, and we're in the prayer line. It's about the third day into the prayer line. And I've been praying in Vanuatu. You pray for hours. Just you're sweaty, and you got smells coming out everywhere. It's not good. Nice imagery there, Chris. So I'm praying for these guys, and I'm seeing nothing happen. I'm giving them a few words, and I'm not getting much breakthrough. And then this young lady comes up and goes, Chris, can I pray for somebody? And I'm like, I suppose so. I'm not going to hold you back. So she goes down the far furthest end of the church. And this lady stands up, this old lady. She's about 68 years old. And she's got cataracts in her eyes. So it's cloudy in her eyes. So you can't see anything. Like she has been blind for the last 10 years. Oh, not 10 years? Well, she was blind for at least the last 5 years. I'm going, don't go to her, it'll be too hard for you. So this lady stands up and this lady girl goes to her and starts praying for her, and I'm going, God, you need to do something in here. This girl has been challenged in her faith. She's kind of been lukewarm. God, can you just show up here? And I looked over there, and I've kind of been a pastor. I kind of got closer to her just to make sure she's praying properly. So I'm about a meter away from her, and I'm looking into this lady's eyes, and this girl's just start praying, God, bring healing. I see the eyes start to go crystal clear, physically in front of me. The lady starts to cry. This girl starts to cry. I start to cry. This 16-year-old girl who's asking a question, am I loved? And we ought to share that you are loved. You have the Holy Spirit into you. And at that moment, as she prayed for that old lady, the blind was see. When we answer the question, when we give kids, young people, generations, sorry, not just kids, all generations their identity, that they are loved by Christ, they have daughtership and sonship in Christ. When they will get a purpose and they will start changing the reality. A person who's united in Christ, it is impossible for them not to start changing the reality. Had a purpose to become a healer. And then God showed up. And this girl was seen, I am loved. God chose me, worked through me as a conduit to heal this lady. This is when we get this understanding, church, when you find your identity as sons and daughters in Christ, you get to do some crazy stuff. God starts using you. And it doesn't matter the junk you might have in your life, God will just turn up because you are united in heavenly places. Just to finish up with this last scripture, this is my favorite scripture. I've got heaps of notes about this, but I'm not going to go into it. Let's go to Ephesians 1:3. This is... Paul is a legend. Ephesians is my favorite book. It's the one book he doesn't yell at anybody. Did anyone know that? Ephesians is the one book that Paul doesn't yell at anyone. That's why I like it so much. I'm a pastor at heart. Here's what he says. We've been sons, and this is a sonship that everyone in this room has and we need to give to our community. All praise to God the Father for our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms. Did it say some? Every spiritual blessing in heavenly. I love this. Be everything. We have everything. Now we have responsibilities to go to the lost. Heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ. What is that word saying? We are more than united. We are intimately connected into his adoption of his authority as sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, like I said, everything he did, we get to do. We have that same intimacy, that intimacy that the Holy Spirit, that Christ had, that God had at the beginning of time, that closeness that you couldn't even put words to it. We now get to come into that relationship. If we could understand even one-tenth of that, or a small percentage of that, we would be blown away and we would never be the same again. We are united in Christ. Your neighbors are united in Christ. Your school place is united in Christ. Your workplace is united with Christ if they come into the understanding of who Christ is in them. Even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus into your heart, I want to read this just for you. Ignore the rest of my sermon. If you've never accepted Jesus into your life, hear this. Even before he made the world, he chose you. And through Christ, he made you holy and without fault in his eyes. That means every sin that you have, every bad thing, everything that the enemy has spoken over your life, you are now set free if you come into a relationship with Jesus. That's you today. At the end, I want you to come up and I want to share to you about how you can step into that perfection of Christ. Nothing you can do. It's all him. Continue on. God decided in advance to adopt you, us into his family by bringing himself through Jesus Christ. The biggest question I have and I deal with, again, is am I worthy enough to be loved? And the answer is Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. But he's adopted you into his family. I believe there's some people here who've had some issues with family. Maybe in the physically that your parents or your mum or your dad, maybe specifically your dad and your mum, have spoken things over your life that are negative. And you feel like you're an orphan in your spirit. That you may have been raised up in a culture that was maybe of hate and anger and frustration. You might have physical parents, but you've never had any spiritual parents. I want to tell you right now, you have a family that's here. You have a father. You have brothers and sisters. You have adopted grandchildren. You got grandparents. Come on, guys. You have a family here. And they can speak life over those things. There's a specific word someone's heard. Someone's heard that they've been useless and they're worthless. And it's been spoken over their dad. The dad has spoken that over their lives. I want to break that chain off you right now. At the end of the service, I want just to protect and create an environment of safety. Please, as everyone else comes up, come up then and just tell me or Chris, that was me. I want to need some prayer and breakthrough in that. All right. That's my done. Sum it up. Finish it off. The world asks in the questions, what's my purpose? What's my identity? You guys have the answer. That they want to be known to be loved. And we are loved by Christ. We have the fullness of the ultimate love that can ever exist. Our job is then to give the world their identity, their purpose, and answer the question, yes, you are loved. You're more than loved. You're adopted into our family. All right. I would like to, as I finish up there, we've had some significant healings in the last year or two, or just in the church. It actually started with the young youth kids. We went for 6 months of 100% healings. Happened early last year, where every person that came up and got healed, and these young people just smashed it out. And I always prayed with a young person because it actually worked better when I was praying with them. Come on. But we've seen some significant things come through our church. If you've got healing in your body, I think there's someone with an ankle. I was in worship today, and there's someone who had a sore ankle, maybe a broken or fractured ankle, and it's never really repaired itself. I would like to pray for you today. If anyone's got any healing, fibromyalgia has been a thing that God's been through ministry has been able to break off people's life. I've seen one of our close friends of 10 years has been free of it from 2 years now, but through just a healing ministry. We just prayed for her and we just cleaned some stuff out. I've seen knees growing back in our church. I've seen ladies who hadn't been a walk for 10 months and went to their house and they started walking. And it's just been this activation. There's a season of healing. Not a season, that's a wrong word, Chris. There is healing being activated across the churches. So if you guys got any healings or want a prophetic word, please come up. I'd love to pray for you guys and just intercede. I know Chris and the elders will help me with that. But other than that, guys, have a great Sunday. Go find the place of influence, the place that you writ down, the atmosphere that you writ down. Go change that place. Maybe get to work 10 minutes early and pray for that. Maybe go to the boss's chair when he's not there and maybe lay hands on it. Maybe in the school place, that bully that picks on you all the time because you're a Christian, maybe go to his locker and start praying for his locker. Maybe the women in the neighborhood, maybe that neighbor has been frustrating you and complains about your dog or whatever it's going on in the neighborhood, or who gossips. Maybe go and lay your hands on the door, or maybe go have a coffee with her and go do her dishes. Let's be influenced in those places. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.